Hi there and welcome to episode 153 of the ADHD Adults Podcast. I'm James Brown, the man who has just enough emotional intelligence not to impulsively force us to write a whole script on it back in episode 145. And as usual, I'm joined by Dr. Alex Connor, the man who in episode 145 said, "We're focusing on IQ today because we're doing a whole episode on emotional and social intelligence soon, even though we hadn't discussed it at all." And the woman who was in an EQ every night in Beaucon-Trent in the 90s, Mrs. ADHD. That's a Q for ecstasy, Sam, an EQ.
I did in the 90s.
It's very true, but it didn't go with EQ, does it? Alex, hi.
A high EQ is probably more important than a high IQ, James, for success.
And Sam, hi.
Hi.
How are you both, Mrs. ADHD first?
Same.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, the people have to sometimes suspend disbelief and assume that we record, that we don't batch record these in any way. We used to change like shirts and jumpers, didn't we, to try and make it look like we weren't batch record. Now we just don't give a fuck. And Alex, you?
I'm absolutely excellent, thank you. Yeah, good. Obviously, you probably know that I forgot to insert a listener intern metrics joke here because I've got the EQ of a wounded sparrow. and to have strong emotional intelligence, you really have to feel what, for example, an audience feel. And I just don't. And would you believe that one of those listeners has sent us a letter, James?
I wouldn't, no.
That's right, James. Yes, it's from Robert from Kidderminster. It says, I listened to your episode on task switching. And can I just ask, how does James go from human to bat so easily if he struggles with task switching? Is that a cognitive task or is it because he smells blood? It's a good question, Robert. We don't know. James, do you want to answer? Do you know?
Normally it's an emotional dysregulation thing. Don't control it.
Okay, you don't choose to be bat.
No.
Can I read out a real letter?
Yes, please.
No.
Okay. It says, and this is from Sarah, loser of the keys. It says, "Thank you so sodding much for all of this wonderful nonsense in one place, but most of all, for not being show ponies, although I have just put on a posh new jumper, so maybe I am. Thank you for every interruption, every long pause, every tangent, and every, what was I saying? They make it all so much more relatable, real, and truly representative that us ADHD folk are not sunshiny superheroes that light up every day with our silly ways. You inspire and enable me in a way that nothing else manages to, which in turn helps me educate and support others too. Anyway, enough of this soppy shite. I'm off to continue the wild medication goose chasing that we currently get to enjoy on a monthly basis. Hopefully, I'll also remember to subscribe properly to Patreon after I've pressed send on this. It could happen. Much love and eternal thanks," which is loads of thanks if you're immortal like James. That is from Sarah, loser of the keys. This was from our Buy Me a Coffee site that I definitely know what that is, from Sarah. But I haven't asked if I can use their name. Let me put that in, Sam.
Sorry,
Sarah. Luckily, it's a relatively common name.
And here we have the Anchorman element of this podcast, which is, if it's written, we'll read it out.
Go fuck yourself, Sandy. Yeah. Right. And as usual, Tarquin, the metrics intern, has given me some information about another city we have listeners in when he wasn't busy sharing stock exchange tips with Sam's posh dad. It's the beautiful Zurich in Switzerland. The metrics intern has told us a fact about Switzerland. For those who may not know it, the Gross Munster Church is actually a giant robot that protects Zurich from disgruntled mandrills. It's operated by a secret society called the Mandrill Schutzgesellschaft. Which I really like. What's a mandrill? Is that a bird?
Oh, or a do you know what? Well, it's a little monkey, but I got so distracted when I was doing my jewellery making course because she kept talking about a ring mandrill. And the whole time my brain's just going, a mandrill, is that a little monkey or is it a bird? I'm not sure. Which one is it? I don't think I can Google it because I'm in a jewellery making class and I should be paying attention. Maybe I should ask her what a mandrill is when it comes to jewellery. Anyway.
And I just did the exact same thing.
Yes.
It's actually relatively large monkey mandrels. If you remember brass, I know,
but
episode,
that's what reminded me of it—the brass eye one.
Yeah.
Did you put mandrel protection team in Google Translate?
Society Mandrel Protection Society. Yeah, that's what it came back with.
Actually, yeah, I guess.
Yes. Anyway, as usual, this Instagram post has got 70,000 likes for saying ADHD is not a disorder. It's a difference in ability. When a really good one we did got 12 likes of a podcast, it's a tragedy in three parts. We choose a theme. Last time around was about ADHD and task switching. And today we're focusing on ADHD and emotional intelligence, or EI, or EQ, or something. I'm not really sure. Thanks to Alex in episode 145 for suggesting this topic. The three parts include the Pound Shop James Dean of Evidence, Alex the Psycho Education Monkey.
Hello.
Talking about the theme, our personal reflections, not on workplace discrimination. Again, no. Haven't changed that script properly, on emotional intelligence. And then finally, a bit of Gabby Loganing in the last bit where we give you our tips, Ding. So, Alex, I know you're super relaxed all the time and this may feel inauthentic. But tell us about ADHD and EI or EQ. I don't care. Carry on.
I knew you were going to feel that. You see, because I can sense.
Well, I mean, was that a joke?
Do you remember when we talked about IQ in episode 145, James?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember we said there was little difference between adults with ADHD and adults without ADHD for our... in general, intelligence, in thinking about logical processes and in understanding concepts and using all of that to think about abstract ideas. So that IQ that we don't actually differ from the regular population is just one type of intelligence, but there are lots and lots of them.
Please don't list them.
I will, thank you. I will list them. Yeah, boring list, fat ones. So there's physical intelligence, sports, dance, critical thinking, communicational intelligence, so like thinking from the perspective of an audience, ironically, processing speed, even musical or linguistic intelligence, visuospatial, lots and lots of different types. And we're definitely going to do an episode on each and every one very soon.
Could we please stick to the spreadsheet of actually topics?
Yes, we do. We do.
I
Samantha.
Don't think they've suggested all of these things.
Sam, we're not going to do all of those episodes. Alex didn't put his hand up to indicate it was a joke, but it was.
I should have done that.
It was a joke. Yeah.
Oh,
because
sorry.
This whole episode is a joke, is one because I see what I did, Sam. Anywho, one of the types of intelligence that is very, very important for how successful we are and internally happy is about emotions, or the people's emotions, our emotions, understanding them, responding to them. This is the emotional intelligence, or EI, or sometimes called EQ, because they wanted an abbreviation that was like IQ, I guess. It isn't a definite fixed thing. It's not a thing. In most psychological research now, it's included with emotional and social intelligence. But it can be divided into, James, another boring list, klaxon. Some of these are well-established challenges as well for us. So you ready? So spotting and responding other people's emotions and their moods. Understanding and responding to your own emotions and moods, but also your own values and your motivations. Accurately interpreting emotional responses to stimuli. So why did they behave like that? Why did I? How do I know that feeling is real? Feeling and demonstrating compassion. That in and of itself is a form of emotional intelligence. It's empathy, both feeling and demonstrating. To be aware of and distinguishing emotional empathy and cognitive empathy, understanding and feeling other people's responses. And sixthly, the ability to express and describe your own emotional responses.
Now, I'm glad for once I actually was listening, because do you have any of those?
No, I don't think I do. Right, I have one of them. The issue is, if you struggle with these, and there are often environmental reasons why we might, as well as biological ones, it can lead to people who get really stressed and feel misunderstood, and you can feel bitter about it and angry for long periods. We can lack empathy. It's not just ADHD. If you just struggle with emotional empathy in general, you could think that other people are oversensitive, or that you could start to refuse to listen to other points of view, and difficult to cope with emotionally charged situations. And people struggling with emotions can make assumptions quickly and defend them probably vehemently.
Oh, that sounds common in ADHD too. What about emotional intelligence and ADHD? Sorry, I was thinking about what you said.
What? That's never happened before.
I know.
That's what it is. And what are you writing?
Well, I'll tell you later.
Oh, it's about, is it about the podcast?
Carry on. No, just carry on.
It's an excellent question, Simon. Really well.
My bit. I have like three bits in this podcast.
Oh, because you asked about ADHD.
Yes, my bit.
Just shush, Bab. Shush. We're talking about ADHD. Grown-ups talking, James. Shush. I'm trying to answer James and Sam's excellent question on ADHD and emotional intelligence. You could learn a thing or two from her, James. There is, unusually, some evidence for adults with ADHD. Unfortunately, it doesn't make brilliant reading. We are often faced with this paradox that we know emotional problems are found in pretty much every ADHD type, and yet there's this sort of TikTok, Instagram bullshit wisdom that we are supernatural, empathetic, fairy-like emotional creatures who are too good for this neurotypical world. And I've never related to that. And I always feel like a miserable bastard saying, not me. And I know, James, you feel the same. I think Sam too. So we know that understanding our own emotions and thoughts in general, this metacognition, is on average worse in ADHD. If you look at the parts of the brain that spot emotions in us and in other people and that respond to them, they're often affected in ADHD too. So we can get stuck on certain emotions, flooded by them. We don't often know which is the most important emotion to feel or to respond to. And emotional responses can be helpful to us and it can hurt the people around us. And it doesn't fit with that TikTok nonsense. So on balance, we probably have slightly lower, on average, emotional intelligence. But that isn't all of us. And many of us have worked on it to a point where we're actually good at spotting it because we know it's been a problem.
What about, I'm not sure, possibly one of those you talked about was kind of empathy. So what about this idea that which is very often, again, reproduced in the TikTok, Instagram wisdom, that we're particularly empathetic?
Yeah, it's a, you know, can we leave the questions to Sam, James? I don't know. It's rubbish. No, that's it, isn't it? Everyone says, oh, we're more empathetic. I see it all the time to a point where it's fact. And a bit like creativity, the problem is, seems to be the self-report scale. All of us saying we are doesn't make it true. We struggle with paying attention, which includes paying attention to our emotions and other people's emotions. This is not nice to say or hear, but the weak evidence so far suggests that both children and adults with ADHD probably have, on average, a tiny bit less emotional empathy, not more. I don't have any. Yeah, no, that's true. I don't have none. And we do have perfectly normal intellectual empathy. We read and understand emotions intellectually on average the same as anyone else, but we tend to not feel it in the same way, maybe because of intentional problems. Similar to studies in autistic people, and once again, suggesting links between ADHD and autism are very strong.
I feel like I have loads of empathy. Too much.
Yes. And that is a really good point and a really, really important point. I need a massive exception klaxon going off. If you're thinking like, Sam, hang on, I have too much emotional empathy, which is unusual. And I'm sure it's ADHD. It might be. So this is the klaxon. So those Instagram posts where they say all ADHD people are super empathetic might be reflecting one small type of ADHD person that doesn't include me. And that's because of hypersensitivity and often connected to ADHD as well. So yes, Sam, and unusually autistic people are one of the only groups of people that can have too much emotional empathy. They have an almost pathological, exhausting level of sensitivity to tiny changes in someone's emotions or needs. We are all different, remember. And the science is done on averages and people are not averages. And there's another problem with this generalization. So impulsivity, hyperactivity, that can mean that we don't stop to read cues in social situations or we ignore them even if we're reading them. So the empathy is there, but we impulsively go past that. So we might be very empathetic, but we don't stop ourselves from doing the thing that we know we shouldn't do anyway. Most of us, I think, have embarrassed ourselves by not reading the room, or we've behaved in a way that isn't, inverted commas, James Rabbit, is socially acceptable. That could be described as lack of empathy, but it isn't. It isn't. So hyper-focusing as well on something means you're not able to pay attention to something else, even if you would understand their emotional needs. Not a lack of empathy, but it sure looks like it from the outside. Might be worth adding that abilities related to emotional intelligence, so what that means to you, like general mood and your own positive impression and adapting, they also appear to be lowered in children with ADHD. Oh, lot of words, sorry.
So what would what would be the take-home message if, say, someone wasn't listening to any of that?
Yeah. Okay. The bold truth. ADHD, condition, difference, or disorder, means that people with ADHD are at a greater risk of having low emotional intelligence than non-ADHD adults, not higher. But this might be a combination of some biology of ADHD, but the symptoms of ADHD looking like we don't have empathy, but also the difficulty of facing challenges, feeling like a shit human, our whole lives restricts that part of us because it's too sensitive. So growing up, facing the challenges we face, gives an opportunity for lived experience and awareness that actually is great for other people not to have, but that gives us an outlook on the world that could be useful. There's your superpower. Growing up with ADHD can give you a certain reflection on life that is different and useful for other people, a different type of emotional intelligence.
Struggling to criticize that as an end. So to save myself the embarrassment, we'll take a break and we'll come back for personal reflections on emotional intelligence in part two. See you in a bit.
Hi all.
How are we doing?
Afternoon.
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 Let's get this meeting.
Meeting.
Meeting started.
Hi. Dad.
Hi, Mom.
Where's the tablet gone?
When everyone's home, EE Work Mode prioritizes your broadband for working from home with faster speeds in more places than anyone else. So.
Yeah. I've got you loud and clear. Clear as a bell.
This is broadband made for working from home. Search EE Broadband, powered by BT.
Work Mode with EE Smart Hub Plus. To verify, see ee.co.uk/claims.
Alex, hi.
Aight. What's up?
Hello, Governor.
Jesus, welcome back to episode 153 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, where we are talking about ADHD and emotional intelligence. These are our personal reflections on the theme. James, you're first in the script. Go.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
You know, normally how I've got, it's normally actually something that we would consider maybe a disabling part of ADHD or a negative part. And I've got all the bad things, things. Actually, this is one area where I know and I'm confident to say that I am emotionally intelligent. And I also seek out people who are emotionally intelligent, and I struggle dealing with people who are not emotionally intelligent. I think that I have a really good ability to read the room, to pick up on signals, to understand other people's emotions, unless it's about me. So one of the reasons I was single for so long in my 20s, not just because of the fear of rejection, was in glaringly obvious cases where someone was practically, you know, writing down, I wanted to go out with you. I just would be like, absolutely can't pick that up at all. I not at all. But that was driven by, well, they wouldn't possibly ever want to, would they? But beyond that, that ability to talk at an emotional level, to have and show cognitive and emotional empathy, it's something that I would see as being a strength I've got. Now, I don't know if that's ADHD. I don't know if that's a product of being around people without those qualities for a lot of my life. And when I was growing up, I would always seek to be alternative to the people around me. So I grew up in a laddish culture and I rejected that. I grew up around people that liked certain music and films and clothes. I had to be different to that. So I don't know if part of it is, though, in those formative years, absolutely just not wanting to be kind of those people or to be like that.
Oppositional.
Yeah, absolutely. Or I don't know if, my ADHD clearly comes from Robert from Kidderminster. I think although he was a quiet man, I think he did, he wasn't intellectually or in terms of academic qualifications intelligent, but he did have emotional intelligence. He could talk about things. I don't know if it's something that I've got from him, if it's my ADHD, if it's just something that's part of me. This is where I struggle with positives of ADHD, is that, as Sam once said, you know, it's taken so much for me. Why should I let it take that, yeah, that positive trait that I've got? Yeah.
The evidence says, so it's just you happen to be someone with that, yeah, ability, and you are someone with that ability. I have, yeah, to say, your emotional intelligence compared to mine is much higher, isn't it? I think we all know
that. It's really important to me. I can't express enough. When I first met friend of the show, Jack, Toblerone guy, whatever you want to call him, and, you know, we live in Oldbury. It's not a great area. It's not an area where you would see good outcomes for people. It's quite deprived. I didn't know what to expect with Jack, having spoken to him on the phone, but immediately I could pick up huge levels of emotional intelligence. And that, to me, is something that I seek out. And as someone that's got basically no fucking friends, I'm very lucky to have somebody who I can have those conversations couched within, you know, being able to accept other people's position, being able to talk at that emotionally intelligent level. It's so important to me. And it's something that I've not seen a lot of in people I've known throughout the 48 years I've been on this planet.
Do you feel it as well, James? Do you feel these emotions or just understand them?
It depends on the situation. So I do feel them in some situations. In some situations, it is just a cognitive acknowledgement that, oh, that must be.
What's that like?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. It's like explaining colours to somebody that can't see colours, I guess. Anyway, Sam, emotional intelligence.
Yeah, this is a weird one for me because I feel like I'm full of contradictions all the time. Mm. I feel like I'm very, very hyper aware of everybody's kind of emotions all the time. And because I like to know what's going to happen, I often try to control people's emotions so that the outcomes are as I expect, so that I will know how to act or react in those situations. If it's something I'm not expecting and there's lots of emotion in the room, I can get really confused because it's so much that it completely overwhelms me. And I'm trying to work out all the individual emotions, but there's just so much going on. And then it kind of affects me and I just get completely overwhelmed. So I feel like I can get so overwhelmed. But at the same time, I can lose patience and think that people are oversensitive sometimes with things. So I feel like I'm just so full of contradictions all the time, yeah, that I can pick up on these things and can really feel them. But if somebody else does, I'm like, just get over it. What's wrong with, yeah, you? But I would be completely losing my shit as well. So it's really, yeah, it confuses me that I'm, and also I'm not so good at knowing what emotions I am feeling. Like I can pick up if it's bad or good, but I can't always pick up the nuances of the emotions that people are feeling. So I feel that there's a change. I feel it in the air. I can feel that something's changed and I'll try and kind of move it back, but I'm not always exactly sure of what's going on, if that makes sense. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, really interesting. You and I are very, very different, aren't we, emotionally? Where we are similar. What about, I don't know about you, James, but that kind of, I often think I'm furious at the world and then I realize I'm hungry. And I only realize because I've got a checklist to remind myself to check if I'm hungry, thirsty, or tired. And if I am, and then I'm like, oh, I don't, shit, it was just that. And that can be really problematic. And then I have inappropriate emotional outbursts all the time. And I try and reduce the interpretation of them afterwards because I can't get rid of them, but I can change my interpretation of them in front of people. I'll say, oh, that was me. It wasn't appropriate. And I don't try and do that. Most people I know seem to feel what other people are feeling. I mean, sorry, that was a definite. And I don't, and that's sort of effective emotional empathy. And I don't really have it in any kind of strong way. And that's quite hard to deal with. And it's sort of, it's a form of sociopathy or psychopathy, but not an aggressive form. I just literally don't feel the emotions that other people are feeling. But what I am pretty good at is understanding them intellectually. all of my in-laws, and they're all lovely, but they seem to feel everything. So if you say, oh, this happened, everyone's really upset about it, and I couldn't give a shit. But then what they can't do is intellectualize it, which I do well. So that cognitive side, I know what you're feeling and I know why. I just don't give a shit. And I care about you as a human, so let's fix it. And that's the way my little brain works. I always identified with Mr. Spock from Star Trek, for example, and these characters. I get it. I just don't feel it. And that I used to hate it, and now I don't, because I think that's all right.
Yeah,
I think it is. I don't like self-congratulatory things, and so I've always said, oh, no, it's not. You don't know. I think it is quite ace.
Yeah,
it I'm shit at emotion.
You haven't got control of it, so you don't need to congratulate yourself. It's just how you are.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
It's not something you've worked hard at.
No, it's true. However, sorry, James, go on.
This is a thing that Sam's got. If you say to her, you're naturally funny, she rejects it and gets angry, saying, well, I haven't worked at that. I don't deserve praise for that. Why am
I
naturally funny? Exactly. And
it's true as well, isn't it? It's like people say, you're so beautiful or whatever. I imagine that people who hear that would think, well, I haven't done anything for that. When I was in my 20s, I crashed and burned quite badly and it's fairly well established. Sam finds it hilarious. Exactly. And I realized I was shit it as a human to the degree that it was such a crash. It was such a rock bottom moment. And I think I practically now ask myself, I won't let myself get to that point. So I have to physically say, why are you feeling? What are you feeling? Why? Self-coaching every day. And I quite like it. I'll look for those things, really. If I'm absolutely focused on something emotional, it's bothering me. I can't trust it. So I try and wait 24 hours before I discuss that with the person because, like I said, it might be hungry. I often don't give a shit about it later on. And then the person I brought it up with thinks that I was furious and I still care, and it gets really embarrassing. So I think, getting overwhelmed, I have to set boundaries that are important, but that takes practice. So, I don't have very much EQ, James. I think that's the bald fact.
For that reason, absolutely not. And I cannot state this clearly enough. Absolutely not, because they haven't prepared a game. For that reason, I'm going to suggest something slightly different. And that is, if we go back up to those six things in psychoeducation, I want you both to give a yes or no answer, and I'm going to do the same. So is this something that you have the ability to do? So spot and respond to other people's emotions and moods. That's a yes for me.
Yeah.
Alex?
Absolutely intellectually. I can do that if I choose to.
Interesting. Second, understanding and responding to your own emotions, moods, but also values and motivations. That's a tougher one for me. I can understand.
I'm very similar to Alex in that I will often, I don't realise I'm hungry and I get all tired and get really angry and think it's somebody else's fault when actually I just haven't eaten all day.
I'm naturally dog shit at that, but I've written down my values and strengths. So don't ask James. His opinions are valueless. I have to write them down. I have to write down my values because I don't remember what they are, kindness and things, because I'm naturally evil, I think. So I have them written down on a sheet to remind myself not to be a twat. What about you, James?
I already answered.
You did.
To some extent, I did. Thirdly, to accurately interpret emotional responses to stimuli. So why did they or I behave like that? How do I know this is true? Again, I think this is something that I am able to do.
Yeah, I think you are as well.
I think I am, but I'm not sure if it's actually true.
But again, this is the thing with the metacognition and sometimes the positive illusory bias we have about our abilities.
I think I know why they behaved like that or why I behaved like that, but I don't. Think it doesn't mean it's true.
As an objective person, you do not have the ability often.
I wanted to say it.
Emotional responses to stimuli at all, Sam.
I'm so glad I added the second bit of that.
I think I've learned this. I've learned how to do this, and by asking, because I don't think I do it very well.
Good. Fourthly, feeling and demonstrating compassion as a form of emotional intelligence. Yeah, for me.
Yes.
Yes, yes, for Sam. Well, Alex?
What do you think?
That's a big fat no.
So I care about people's well-being.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not, you know, a lunatic. But to actually feel, I just don't feel it. I try and demonstrate how I think love and compassion is all we have. So that, and that's, yeah, no, horse shit at that.
Fifthly, to be aware of and distinguish emotional and cognitive empathy. And this is something that I, again, I can tell the difference when I am expressing cognitive empathy and genuinely feeling emotional empathy. So that's a yes for me.
I don't know what those things mean.
So feeling one is what people are feeling, thinking, understanding what they're feeling intellectually. Sorry, Jake. You do the first one, just FYI.
Yeah. Yes.
I do the second.
Yeah. Ah, right. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And then finally, the ability to express and describe emotional responses. And I am, it's interestingly, controlling an emotional response is different to expressing and describing emotional responses. I believe I can do this, but controlling it in the moment obviously is a different thing.
Yeah.
But you do, James. You sometimes email these things that blow me away, like, oh, I was feeling this then because of that. And when it's like a really difficult thing and you express it in this way, and I think, I wouldn't have a fucking clue. I wouldn't have a clue why I did that. It is something you can do.
I've always had this weird ability to objectively step out of myself and a situation and almost as a third party look at it and understand and verbalise what happened and what the reasons are, etc. Don't know why.
Yeah, you're amazing at that. It's weird.
I think you can do it, Sam, afterwards. What do you reckon? I can't very well.
I don't know. I'm not very good at describing my own emotional responses. I'm not always sure what they are.
Yeah, okay.
Bad
yeah.
and good sometimes is as much as I can get.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I might not understand why I'm feeling this way or exactly what I'm feeling. So no, I'm not great at that. James,
what's the score?
Well, the score is technically, because I came out best, that I win this game. So now it instead of being 7-4, it's 7-5.
This is it, isn't it? This is the thing. Just because on average we're not great at it, it doesn't mean we're all not great at it. You are much higher than average, not ADHD, at these things. It's just averages. I'm shit.
Magic. Right then, on that note.
On that note.
I can't stop saying that now. We'll take a break and we'll be back for tipping in a bit. See you. Bye. Not sure.
Bye.
No.
Trumpet magic. Is it Alex that brings us back in?
Yes, it is.
I don't know.
Yes. It's in blue.
Oh, yes, it is in blue. Sorry, I wasn't looking at the script.
Okay. I'm not going to do all those tips because it's boring. But if you want one of them, just knock yourself out. Right then. Coming back in. Sorry, I'm just going to have a sip of water. Broke that. You know, did you realise I put a jumper on and we were halfway through recording?
Yeah. Continuity is incredible with this podcast. Right.
Right. Coming back in 1, 2, 3. Welcome back to episode 153 of the ADHD Adults podcast. We are talking about ADHD and emotional intelligence, or EI, sometimes EQ, other things as well. As always, in part three, we're doing top tips, just the tips, monk trumpeting, Gabby Loganing. Right, I don't know how we do top tips for EQ, maybe dealing with having none like me. Start with you, James, reading the script. Any tips for EQ or EI?
Yeah, kind of, maybe. I'm not sure. We'll see. The first thing I would say is, and we often don't do this, and I've talked about this a little bit in bits and bobs over the last few months, self-reflection is something that we don't do. Actually taking time to think about ourselves, not in the moment and in self-chastisement, but trying to better understand who we are, how we behave, how we think, has been really powerful for me over the last, you know, 6 months to a year. The anhedonia thing, you know, my approach to my mental health, it's been really helpful. Yeah. And I think sometimes, because of the poor metacognition and the alexithymia, people might think they're not emotionally intelligent, or might not pick up cues from other people that would reinforce the fact that they're emotionally intelligent. So take some time to reflect if it's something you want to. And the only other thing I think is, if you can, surround yourself with the right people. You know, one of the lovely things about the little talks and about our community is that family of people is very important to us. Yeah. To all of us collectively as a group, knowing that there are people that get you, that understand you, is important. And sometimes we're not surrounded by the right people. Sometimes if you are emotionally intelligent and you're surrounded by people who aren't, it's very difficult to be emotionally intelligent, because you can face criticism for pointing out the fact that other people are not emotionally intelligent. So sometimes it's about that safety of wanting to be authentically you without, you know, creating conflict. Sam, you got anything?
Some things. I do a lot of self-reflection. Like every night I have to go over everything that's happened all through the day and try and work out what people meant and how they felt and what I meant and how I felt. So I do a lot of self-reflection every night. The tips I would say is, when I get overwhelmed by my emotions or by other people's emotions, the best thing I can do is just remove myself from that situation, just excuse myself and leave, because it's just safer for me. Otherwise I'm going to act or react in ways that I will regret later, because I don't sometimes understand what's going on, misinterpret, and I can be, very reactive. So removing myself really helps me, and giving myself time to reflect, work out what was going on, and sometimes just distracting myself for a while with something else. But then by the time I come back to it, I reflect on it and think, that was nothing. That's not something you need to get upset or worried about. It's nothing. So, just give yourself time, distract yourself, and then reflect after. But give yourself time before you reflect. Otherwise, you're still caught up in it.
When you do that reflection, do you remember we've talked a couple of times about how it's so important to reflect honestly with a positive lens? Because we tend to do the catastrophe thing and the worst possible interpretation of our own behaviours. Do you purposefully say, okay, what's real about that? You know, was it as bad as that, or was it okay? Do you do that?
As long as I give it enough time, yes. If I don't give it enough time and I'm still caught up, and when I say enough time, it might be days, it might be weeks. It depends on the situation. Yeah, it might be. You've got to give yourself enough distance. Otherwise, no, I can't be objective like that. And I will just come to the conclusions.
I'm still embarrassed about things that happened more than 20 years ago, if they crop up in my
mind. I'm embarrassed about things that happen when I'm three.
Yeah. I mean, you should be. That was a disgraceful act.
I know. Event. I was such a horrible, evil child.
Awful toddler. I mean, they all are.
What about you, Al?
No, they're really good. Both of you have taken most of mine. Okay. I think James's point really is yes, you're born with emotional intelligence, but you it is a skill as well that you can build on from wherever you are. And I think that's what I've had to do, is try and build some intellectual empathy to fill the void that is my sociopathy. And taking space, everything you've said, actually, I really agree with. Expanding that a bit more as well is, if you can find life issues that cause you stress. In general, stress exacerbates ADHD symptoms. Stress exacerbates a lack of emotional empathy and intelligence. So anything that causes you stress that you can control is a good idea, because stress you can't control is going to happen. And it's a big vase that you've got to fill. So if you can, anything you can control stress, getting support and treatment for ADHD can reduce stress, not just meds, but self-education, psychoeducation. James, when you talk about that journey, I know it's an awful word, but those reflecting, when do you do it? Do you do it with someone else? Or because it's hard. Who has the time to go, right, I'll think about me? You know, it's hard, right? When do you do it?
In the bath. My mindfulness, the one time where I can actually think about things and stop and reflect, is in the bath. It's the only time I'm relaxed, in a hot bath, bit of music on. Sometimes I will play a game, but I will stop and think about these things. And sometimes it's in conversation with lovely Laura. And when we were in Ireland, we talked a lot about my anhedonia and whether it was important to me to feel this way, etc. But usually it's just in that those odd quiet moments, sometimes with a fag outside, sometimes in the bath, where I just have time to think, because everything we're running at 100 miles an hour, constantly working 7 days a week, not having no time to do anything. So having that time to stop and reflect is hard, but I have to find it, because I've realized it helps. It's powerful.
It really, really is.
I do it when I should be sleeping at night.
and is that a healthy approach, would we say?
Well, it's just, I've just learned now that that's what I have instead of sleep.
Yeah,
and
reflection.
I'm still alive.
Barely. What life, though, really?
Barely.
So last thing I would say is I ask myself, why did I feel that? Why do I think I felt that, really? Was that the reaction I want to show to the world, the behaviour, the response? And what could I do next time to spot it in advance or to change my reaction? And what Sam said of just removing yourself if you have to, absolutely fundamental to me. I tell people in advance it might happen so they don't think I'm huffing off, slamming the doors in fury. It's not about them. It's about me. Sorry, too many top tips. I apologise. That's it.
That's okay. At least you apologized. Anyway, round things off. That was episode 153 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, where we talked about ADHD and emotional intelligence, or EI or EQ or something. As usual, if you enjoyed this episode or want to get in touch or are really bored, you can visit the website, adhdadults.uk, to find out more, etc., etc. Yeah, it's the wrong web address again, isn't it? Scripture's a fucking mess. I don't know. Anyway. See you soon, maybe.
Bye.
Bye, all. Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon, klaxon. Klaxon, big klaxon. Trigger warning, klaxon. Klaxon, klaxon, klaxon.